Anchor.fm. What is up, guys? Good evening. Coming at you at 10:06 p.m. I got a really good interview with my good friend and colleague and fellow teacher, Emma Alcantar. And it's a treat getting her on the podcast, getting her mind on the culture and the state of society and everything from not only her own individual point of view, but also from a teacher's point of view. Because I feel not too many teachers get their point of view across accurately, or maybe sometimes teachers, we might come across as whiny and complainy, but that's definitely not the case because we are kind of in the thick of it. And so it's good to get a fresh perspective on things. So without further ado, here is my good friend, Emma. Take a listen, guys. Emma, you there?
I'm here.
What is...
I'm doing some schoolwork on Christmas break.
Are you really doing schoolwork on Christmas break?
I am. It's for my master's, though, so...
So then I guess we'll go ahead and allow this to happen.
Right. Like, I guess so.
Well, on to the podcast for a little bit.
For sure.
I'm pretty excited about this.
Me too, definitely.
So go ahead and give me like a quick 30 to about who you are and what you do.
Okay. Do you want me to say my name?
Absolutely.
Or not? Okay. Absolutely. All right. Okay. My name is Emma Alcantar. I am an English teacher. And sorry, my dog is growling in the background because... Whoa! Watching Harry Potter. I'll redo that for you. Sorry. Hagrid was on the screen. Hey, let's go outside. I don't know what that was. Apparently Hagrid is a opposing force.
They just wanted to make their presence known on the podcast, too.
I guess so. Okay. Well, do you want me to start over?
Do whatever you want.
Okay. All right. My name is Emma Alcantar. I am an English teacher in El Paso, Texas. I am a huge book nerd. I love reading books and I love watching movies about book adaptations, basically. And I love podcasts.
And you said that you have a podcast?
No, I love podcasts.
Oh, you love podcasts. I was like,
I would love to have a podcast.
You never told me you had a podcast.
No, I do not have a podcast, no.
But you like them.
I do, yes.
Awesome. Perfect. So basically, okay, so this whole podcast that I'm doing, which is completely aside from anything else that anybody else, you know, from school or whatever, this is all about the crossroads of culture, society, and the arts, because most of everything that I do that kind of stems from this is, you know, steeped in the arts. And so I wanted to get your perspective on where we're at that crossroad from from your perspective as an individual. And then the interesting thing too is just the getting your perspective on everything from the lens of a teacher as well.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
And so to kind of like preface this a little bit too, Emma and I are both teachers at the same school and everything, and it probably wasn't until, when was it that we actually like officially started like talking to each other?
I want to say it was when we actually had to go back on campus last January.
Okay.
Because when did you actually start? Was it that fall of 2020?
I actually started like, man, I think I got hired there at school in November of 19.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I remember that. Cause that was a mid-year hire. I remember that.
Yep.
And yeah, so but it wasn't until 2020 when we started talking.
Right. It took like a whole, year and a half.
Right.
And I mean, needless to say, I stay in my room all the time. Like I am never roaming the halls.
No, me either. So,
and I don't know if that's just like a teacher thing or if that's like kind of like a, this is how I'm going to keep myself safe from whatever weird stuff goes on like in the hallways. But right. I mean, it's gotten so bad to the point where like I get in trouble for not being out in the hallways because,
yeah,
you know, like transitions and whatnot. And I'm just like, these kids can walk themselves to school, like, or they can walk themselves to class.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been having the same issues where it's like, I'll just turn my lights off, just stay in my room.
Pretend
I'm
not
I'll cover
here.
my window. Yes, exactly.
Pretend I'm not here. And if a kid comes in, it's like, crap, I guess I do have to teach today.
Right, exactly. And they're like, where, is he gone today? Are they out? Like, no, I'm here.
And so yeah, this whole little friendship and everything took about a year and a half to create. And I want to ask you what your perspective is on where we're at with culture. Like I said, kind of like from your perspective as an individual and like your walk of life. And then the more interesting part would be, how does that differ from looking at it from the point of a teacher? So where do you feel that we are at culturally, societally, and just with everything that's going on, and like I guess with the arts?
So culturally, I actually been talking to a lot of friends about this, and I feel like I kind of went on a little tirade with saying how much social media has influenced culture.
Uh-huh.
And not necessarily for the better. And I had a whole like mental like shutdown, and I was like, everyone has the same or is ascribing to the same type of humor, like with TikTok and with Instagram, where it's like everyone's doing the same stuff.
Yeah.
But everyone's acting like it's brand new, you know?
Right.
And it's just very strange to me where I'm like, okay, as kids, like we would joke about the same stuff, but it was like obvious that it wasn't, oh, everyone's doing this. It's kind of, it was just a, I don't know. I guess that was a different, obviously different time, but it's just very strange to me in terms of that aspect of culture. And society, honestly, I think March of 2020 really opened up a lot of holes in our society and divisions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see how that all played out, like not only in quarantine, but once people kind of reintegrated back into society and how to react with each other and interact with people around them, not right. On the phone, but face to face. It's kind of like, oh, okay.
It's like you actually do exist.
Right. It feels very dystopian where it's like, oh, you're not a hologram. You're a person. Oh.
See, this is going to be great because I love that you're like an English teacher, because now I'm like, I'm going to bust out a piece of paper and I'm going to be like, Emma's words of the day.
Like, oh my goodness.
Dystopian. I'm going to have a whole dictionary here. It's like, man, these are really good, like $10 words for a Wednesday morning.
Well, I was just working on homework, so I can't take all the credit. I've been reading a lot of articles.
So how do you feel this integration? How do you feel that people are now? Like, I've read a couple articles already, and I've heard some other people's kind of mention that we're on the, how do they say it? We're kind of on the heels of this pandemic kind of not necessarily ending, but I guess people are starting to realize that this is just something that they're going to have to live with.
Right.
How do you feel that's going to play out, that mentality, into 2022?
I honestly wonder, because I feel like people anticipated the end of it a lot sooner than mm-hmm. was possible. So I feel like people have kind of come to grips with like, you know what, especially with how fast Omicron is spreading, it's going to be something that we all get at some point, but it's not going to be as fatal. So obviously people making their choices to wear masks and get their booster shots or vaccines and things like that. And it's not as like in as much of a panic as it was, which I think will be good. But then I also think that you do have the group of people that are the deniers, and why are you letting politics sway you, what you put on your face and things like that. So I'm curious to see how it's really going to play out.
Right.
But people are tired of being at home, and people are also tired of staying at home because other people won't take the precautions and things like that.
Right. And so it's just kind of like everyone's kind of getting beat up from both ends, huh?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's pretty crazy. I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, I got my wife and I, we both got our boosters today. And so mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, searching. Because I think the weird thing too was just that I was like, okay, fine, let's just do this, because I ended up getting COVID.
Yeah.
I ended up getting it, and it was insane. Like I'm glad that it didn't affect me the way that it did to people, what, a year ago when they're
yeah.
And so, but still, I mean, it was insane. It like really like threw me off my mental, you know, fortitude, whatever I had at the time. Like it really just like sapped me. And so now getting this booster and everything, it's just like, well, you know what? I think people just need to just roll with it and just get it, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's just kind of like, if you can, I guess, do anything,
yeah,
you might as well.
And then just, you know, it just saves a headache and everything like that. How do you feel that this is, because I feel like that was a very kind of a very at large kind of response to what's going to happen, taking all of this and going into 2022. Mm-hmm. How do you see it from the eyes of a teacher? Like, let's put on our teacher hat for a little bit.
As a teacher, it's been interesting with everything, because even coming back this year, a bunch, I think more than half of my kids didn't wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also learning, as again, they're reintegrating themselves into society since they've been at home. They've probably gotten the brunt of it, where they've just been at home for the majority of a year.
Just all year day. And a half.
Right, all day long. And it's, all I can't day, imagine all how year. How stressful that is. Just like, it zaps your energy. So, but I think as a teacher, it'll be interesting because they are forming their own opinions and they're forming their own beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do see them getting fed up with each other, if that makes sense, where you have the friends who don't listen and they only listen to their parents, or the friends that don't care about anyone but themselves. So it kind of is pushing them to grow up a little bit faster than I guess last year would have. But I don't know. I'm curious to see like what they also are like, but I feel like they're quicker to form their own opinions because they have so much information that's coming at them from all angles.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like at the very beginning, kids were very hopeful about being back. Like, they were good. Right. They were, you know, aware, alert. They were on it. And then something happened from, like, maybe early Thanksgiving, like, early into that break, and then coming back, I feel like energy was sapped faster than usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think caused that sap? Because it's not a normal sap of energy. This was something completely different.
No, it's really not. And I was telling my kids last week before we went on break, my eighth period, I told them, I was like, you guys started off amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the last 5 weeks was kind of just a progressive like roll downhill in terms of like behavior and academics. And it's very strange. And I'm glad you bring this up because I've been trying to figure out like what caused it so fast.
Right.
Because we normally see that, I guess, decline in energy later on in the year, like right before we go to summer break.
Right.
But I don't know. I really don't know. I think it could be the uncertainty and the back and forth of this is what we're doing. We've been at home for a little bit, so we remember what that felt like. But also kind of, I don't know if they just treat it like it's a video game and it's not real or what's going on in their mind.
They're all living in a simulation, right?
Right. Because I'm sure that's what it felt like last year when they had to be on school on a computer and they didn't meet any of their teachers in real life.
Right.
But I really don't know. Obviously, you see, I guess, a different class of kids, but what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I don't know. Oh, well, you know, that was a good transition. Let's put it back on the host really quick. I don't know. I mean, I need the kids to be there for what I do, because what I do is just and I mean, I don't try to diminish other teachers for what they do, because you guys have to like pour your heart, life and soul into like testing for the majority.
Yeah.
You guys got to make sure that you guys are on it with points and everything. But in my case, mine is like, I have to like really make sure that I have something made, but my stuff is insanely hands-on.
Yeah.
And so when I'm like going back and forth from these kids, especially last year, like it's like, hey guys, I need you to turn stuff in. And I'm realizing I'm having this epiphany, like, oh my gosh, you guys are not even here.
Right.
Like it's insane. And it's like, I had like the aha moment, because I taught photojournalism and I was teaching straight photography at that time. And I was like, you guys are turning in stuff on your phone, like this is insane, like you guys need to learn how the camera works. I don't know, the sap of the energy was just, I don't know, I can't even put my finger on it, because I just saw it almost like overnight.
Right.
From one minute to the next, it was like they cared and then they didn't care.
Right. And like it was hard because a lot of times they're very vocal about that, like when they get a little more fussy, but they haven't really been. And so I'm wondering what also caused that, where it's like you guys are different, but you're also not saying why or giving us any hints.
I mean, when it came to like grading and everything, it almost came down to like there was like a three phase thing that I was starting to notice. It was at first it was I had to yell at them, and then they would do like two pieces of work, and then they'd stop. And then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you a zero. And then they would do three pieces of work. Right. Then like the zeros stopped scaring them. And it was like, oh man, like what the heck? Like what's going to scare them to do this work? And then at that point, mm-hmm. it's almost kind of like you have like this existential crisis where you're like, I'm a teacher and I have done everything from scaffolding to, you know, maybe you guys like word maps and all this other stuff, like all these buzzwords that they teach us. And it's like, right. you have that one solitary moment and it's like nothing's working.
Yeah, it's like talking to like a brick wall and it's there's no like reaction from them.
I don't know. I find, I don't know. In the last interview that I had yesterday, we were talking about that this was kind of like after everything had happened that she kind of showed it shone the light on the cracks of the education system. What do you right. think about that?
I mean, I definitely think it is. And I think the kids are also seeing that, especially the older ones, where they see things like athletics are more prioritized than the arts or than even testing, you know, like a lot of the kids who are struggling and have to make up the hours because they didn't pass the last star and the state just decided like, oh, let's have them do a bunch of hours so that they'll pass. That's literally defeating the purpose of giving them what they need. It's, I think they realize also like they're not getting what they need. They're just getting, I guess, like a band-aid solution. And it's also kind of exposing how teachers and parents interact, because when I was in high school, if my teacher told something to my parents, it was fixed immediately. Like,
right.
it wasn't, because it was a reflection of them.
Right.
But now it's like, and even the way the kids talk, they say, I'm failing because of you. I'm like, wait, what? You are? Like, I'm that one tyrannical teacher that just is refusing to give you any points, or you're the kid who beat someone else up in the cafeteria and you're still acting up. So, right. And then just parents, I guess. I think, and I can't say anything because I'm not a parent, but I can understand being tired of just dealing with the behavior constantly and kind of wanting to put the blame on someone else other than their own child. But it's the respect is kind of, the disrespect of teachers, rather, I should say, is kind right. of seeping into the rest of, like, even down into the kids. Where uh-huh. they're like, nobody cares. And so the kids are like kind of, I guess, seeing that it's okay to act certain ways.
Right. And it's almost kind of like this whole generation of education is going to turn into like one big, almost kind of like a scapegoat kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Like everyone's going to pass the bucks to somebody.
Right.
I don't know. It's, what did you say? Very dystopian?
Yes, it is.
It's like, man, this future's looking kind of bleak, guys.
Yeah, just a little bit.
How do you feel that mental health is going to change going into 2022?
I have thought about this a lot because I've had a lot of kids come to me, especially the last couple weeks of school with stuff.
Uh-huh.
Just very comfortably, where they're like, I just need to tell you this. Like, one of my kids straight up told me, can I sleep? Because if I don't sleep, I'm going to cry because I've had such a bad week. And I'm like, oh, okay. And we weren't doing anything anyway because it was the last week before break. So I was like, even if we were doing stuff, and she prefaced it with, are we doing anything important today? So I appreciated that. But I was like, hey, if you're not feeling it, it doesn't matter what we do. You're not going to absorb it if you're in this headspace.
Right.
So I wonder if they are becoming more comfortable at identifying who, I guess, the safe adults are to do things like that with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember going into quarantine in March 2020, they were trying to use their friends, and a lot of their friends just disappeared.
Right.
So I think that they're trying to identify who they can go to in terms of mental health issues and who they, I guess, need to put on a face or contain it a little bit more, which makes me sad because I feel like we all can kind of do that to an extent where certain people understand, certain people don't understand.
And so as a teacher, as a teacher, and because I mean you were still working on your master's, right, during this whole time?
Yes, I am.
So how did you, as a teacher, as a student, how did you manage, and how did you take care of your own mental health in this weird kind of dynamic?
I actually talked to the kids a lot about this, but I've had to find like my like pockets when I can do things. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not there mentally, I can't force it because it's just going to make everything even more of a mess. So, and also kind of just being realistic with myself, like in terms of school, and saying like, you know what, maybe I won't get full participation this week because I didn't meet the criteria, but I took time to read a book and not do anything, or just watch a movie and not think about grading, and just give myself the pockets of like, this is my work time. This is my, I'm just going to ride with it and just kind of try to take care of myself time, if that makes any sense.
No, yeah. I mean, definitely. I like the idea of pockets, like trying to figure out where in the day or like where in a moment can I fit in something that's going to maybe not necessarily like distract me, but something that will show me that, okay, this is not a permanent feeling.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's something I have to tell myself and the kids all the time, because whenever someone blows up in class, I have to tell them, like, hey, I know you're so upset, so I want you to tell me what you're feeling first and get it all out, because obviously it's temporary, but in the moment, it's very real.
How do you think this is going to change students next year? Like, because now we have like this whole cohort of students who have lived digitally, mm-hmm. who have lived from digital back to, well, we're just going to go ahead and call it traditional. And then now we have a whole cohort of people who have done both. And then people who are coming in on this, like, you know, on the heels of everything, including this idea of Omicron and all this other nonsense. How is this student going to change? What version of a student are we going to be getting? Is this student 2.0 or 2.5? What are we going to be working with in the next couple of years after all of this?
I hope that we get someone who is able to do both, because I personally, as an educator, have always liked the idea of hybrid, because in terms of utilizing skills, it's helpful, because they get the online aspect of it and then they get the human, real, in-person aspect of it. But I really don't know, because I'm thinking about the freshmen who started this year, mm-hmm. and how they're going to be throughout their, I guess, high school careers. And I wonder if it's just, it'll be kind of moment to moment, because they've already had to deal with so much. And I've seen, especially with the younger ones, that if they get overwhelmed, they kind of shut down. And they'll figure it out, but it takes the shutting down and kind of like rebooting for them to be functional again.
They did a hard reset.
Right, yeah. Like they kind of have to power down and then reset. And then it's like, oh, now I'm working. But it's very interesting, and honestly, I haven't seen kids like this since I've been teaching. So mm-hmm. it's just hard to know kind of like what they're doing, and then how to help them.
Right. Your master's. Let's talk about that. What are you doing? What are you learning?
Right now, I am learning basically the practicalities of designing a college course. I'm getting my master's in English with an emphasis in education. So it's kind of both, where in undergrad I had my English courses and then I had my education courses, and this kind of just mashes the two of them together, which I really like, because some of my stuff I was like, well, this applies to math and I'm never going to use this strategy because English is totally different than a bunch of the subjects that we teach in schools. So this helps a lot, and it's obviously catered to teaching higher education, but we have former high school teachers who are my instructors and know what you get in high school and what you get in college. So that's really interesting. And for me, I do want to teach higher education.
Mm-hmm.
But especially like just what we talked about, the whole class of kids going to college now is going to be completely different, and even their expectations are going to be changed drastically.
I find myself kind of like going down this rabbit hole of different subreddits sometimes about teaching. And you're laughing because it's like, oh, Isaac, why are you doing this to yourself?
No, I'm like, I get it. I'm like, what is this everyone else's experience or just me?
Right. And like, I've heard, unfortunately I'm there, just like going down this rabbit hole of the subreddit of teachers. And there's a few college professors on there that I've read, and they say it's absolutely no different than high school. And it's just like, oh my gosh, especially for in my case too, because I just got finished getting accredited through EPCC and like I want to do a dual credit. And it's like, man, like if I'm having trouble right now, I can only imagine what's going to happen in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And it's like, oh man, like I kind of have like nowhere to run at this point, you know? It's kind of
right.
Education is turning into like kind of like this like legitimate, like a mousetrap almost. We find the cheese and we love it for however long that lasts. You know, for some people it lasts, you know, a year or two. Other people it'll last, I don't know. There's like some teachers who are like going on like their 20th year. But then like what happens when that cheese, you know, you eat it all up? Like what do we do? What would be the logical next step? We find the cheese. Okay, so teaching, it's, you know, all of this stuff. It's crazy. College professors are feeling the same way. And so teaching is, education is this huge mouse trap, kind of like a mouse maze kind of thing. Some cheese, when teachers find it, they love it and they spend, you know, most of their life doing it, 17, 20 years. Other people, they'll last, you know, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. I've heard that 7 years is like, if you can make it 7 years, you're kind of over that hump. And then it's kind of like, that's going to be your career that you retire in.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I just was told that a couple of weeks ago. If you can make it past 7, you probably can coast teaching.
That's interesting.
Right? And so my question to you is just like, where do we go when that cheese is done with, but we still feel like teaching is just not our thing?
That's what I've honestly tried to think about, because this year, at least right before we went to winter break, I was like, I'm done. High school is too much. There's too many expectations. Like, it's impossible to meet. But I still do love my content. So I feel like a lot of the people who went into teaching because of their content are going to find something else in that field. Mm-hmm. Where with science, it's obviously easier to branch out and go into fields of study than it might be for like English and journalism, where like you would go into newspaper and just different stuff like that. So I feel like people are gonna stick to what they initially went into it for. Uh-huh. And keep kind of that joy of their work going.
No, yeah, that makes some sense. Do you feel that maybe in the next, let's just go ahead and give it a nice little round number, like in the next maybe 4 to 5 years? No, let's just say 10, because 4 to 5, I feel like we'll blink and it's already going to be 5 years.
Right.
Let's just say like in the next 10 years, do you think that there will ever be, or do you think that we are kind of like at the precipice of a mass educational, like a mass teacher exodus? Like everyone's just going to start leaving?
I honestly think we are, because I saw it happening even like last January, where people were like, I'm done. Like I did one semester in literally an impossible situation, and I still didn't get, I guess, the help I needed or the promises that people were telling us, like, oh, we'll just get through this and we'll work together as a team and we'll come back stronger, and like the cliche things people were saying. Right. But I think people are honestly just getting fed up with nothing changing, and it's still being on teachers to do quite literally everything. I don't know if you also are kind of being a functioning graduation coach this year. but that just was one of the things that threw a lot of people over the edge, where it's like, we have people who do this, and teaching literally does not leave time to make sure kids graduate.
Right.
So I just think people are done. I think they're tired.
I think everyone's tired. We're all kind of going through it right now, and we're all trying to figure out what the next version of all of this is going to be.
Right.
And so, I mean, I guess we can only hope that that version is something somewhat functional.
Right. Yeah.
You said that you started like a new hobby, right?
I did. So I actually started in college. I worked at this fitness studio called Pure Bar, which is a bar method, which uses like a ballet bar, and it's low impact. And it kind of incorporates some Pilates. But I worked there in college and I took classes and I was like, wow, I'd really love to teach this because I come from a ballet dance background. Mm-hmm. And I've taught ballet before. And I was like, but it's also, again, it's another teaching thing that's like a full-time gig. But, and of course, with little itty bitty ones. But I thought for like at least about the last 5 years, I was like, I'd love to be a Pure Bar teacher and like become that type of fitness instructor. So that's what I've been doing. I went to my training the beginning of December. Mm-hmm. And my, I had to do what's called a test out video where I just film myself teaching a class and send it into corporate. And I basically get either approved or they ask me to do it again. And so that's what I'm doing right now where I'm trying to just prep for that test out. So it's been a lot, but it's been really fun.
And I'm sure that this has all helped kind of like decompress a lot of things that have gone on for the year, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I was actually wondering if I should do it or if it would just like add to my plate, but it's a different, I guess, kind of mental, just a different mental capacity in doing this stuff. Cause it quite literally is still teaching, but it's a different, world. And it's helped kind of just be like, okay, this is this, that is teaching. This is completely different. So.
Trying to like keep them somewhat compartmentalized a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel the same way because like after like getting my other Instagram hacked and everything, I mean, I had to literally start over as well. And so that was just years and years and years and years of work just taken away like in the matter of 30 seconds.
I can't imagine.
And so like how you said it's different, I guess I treated that one a little bit more. It's not that I treated it bad or anything, but like I guess I always knew it was there. So after like losing everything, I became more intent. The intent is stronger with this one. And right. I was just talking to my wife this morning about like the frequency of these podcasts. And like I have like this whole like I'm literally that one GIF where it's like the guy's like conspiracy theories. Like I have this whole thing planned out. I know exactly what each square on my Instagram is going to be now. And so it's differently. I thought it was going to be insanely cumbersome to do this all over again. It's like crap, like where do I start with my pictures? I'm gonna be throwing in a podcast now and then I'm doing all these other things, and it's just like it's different, but it's like I guess comforting at the same time. It takes my mind off of the everything else that was stressing me. So I guess we can kind of like clichely say it's like good stress or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So I mean, I get you on that one. So if there was anything that you wanted to let people in on as far as what's a good mantra that people could take away from this, from you, from your point of view on everything that you've experienced, teaching, being a teacher in the education field, being a student again, getting your master's, going out there, you know, kind of putting yourself back out there and doing the certification and getting, you know, doing your hobbies and everything. What would be a good mantra to let people in on for this new year going into 2022?
Oh man, I feel like that was a lot. It was like a full, like couple years you threw at me, but oh man.
We asked the big questions here.
The big questions. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my brain. I think because we've had so much change, like I've had to tell myself like everything's always going to change, but like what you kind of said, we're like our feelings will feel so permanent, but they're in fact like very temporary because everything is changing. Like whether it's bad or it's good, it's going to keep moving. It's not going to be that way forever. But I think something I've learned this year is even though everything is changing maybe every 5 seconds, you have to establish your boundaries and what you have set in stone that's like, okay, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to allow this. Because if you don't have anything like that, you're just going to kind of be pulled in every direction.
Right. That was deep. Yeah. That was deep. I'm going to allow this. I'm not going to allow that.
Right. Yeah.
So those are wise words from Emma. With the massive dictionary that I've been writing down with all the $10 words that you've been using this morning. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm going to let you get back to your studies because I know how tedious it can be to get taken away from studying and getting stuff done for your master's. Once you kind of walk away from something, you kind of end up finding something else to do. And then you're kind of left in a little bit of a rut. And then I know that you do have a wedding to get to today as well and get prepped for. So I want to say thank you for allowing me to chew up about 30 minutes of your time. And hopefully we can get you back on the podcast and talk about some other beefier, deeper topics.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome, Emma. Cool. Then I'll talk to you later then. Thanks for being on.
I'll talk to you later. For sure. Bye.
Bye.